Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report
with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you've got the story, as always. You are on top of it. Very curious to get your take on Matt Eberflus talking up the running game. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we run the ball? Maybe that'll keep teams from blitzing. And, you know, they've got to respond to this. They have to do something. And that seems as good an idea as any.
Well, yeah, and he, you know, after the game Sunday night, guys, he said he thought the running game was okay in the loss at Houston. Obviously, to anybody who watched it, it wasn't okay. I mean, were there a couple okay runs? Absolutely. Sure. As a whole, it was entirely underwhelming, especially in a ball game that's close. It's not like they had to give up on the run to try to pass their way back into the ballgame. But I'm here with good news this morning, guys.
Okay.
I am bringing good news to the show. The Indianapolis Colts, through the first two games of the season, have surrendered 474 rushing yards. Joe Mixon of Houston went for about $170 in the opener against this Indianapolis defense. And then the Colts headed up to Lambeau Field this past weekend. And Green Bay, without Jordan Love, said, we're going to play Malik Willis and we're going to try to just run the football. And the Colts had no ability to stop that run. So they've surrendered 237 yards on the ground per game, easily the worst in the league, giving up 5.1 yards per carry. There is the antidote to what ails the Bears' running game. Besides maybe a coordinator who doesn't want to call a ton of run plays.
You got to run the ball, especially without DeForest Buckner, who may not play Sunday against the Bears in the middle of that Colt defense, which is already porous and susceptible to a good running game. You mentioned Joe Mixon. He went to social media complaining about the tackle that he got injured on, the hip drop tackle Talking about and saw the same thing, Brad. What do you think happens with that? Is the league looking at that as a potential fine?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the league will look at that as a fine, and they've got to determine if it meets the criteria. And it's still probably an ongoing educational thing for the officials.
Edwards, correct?
And these, what's that?
It was Edwards, correct?
Yes, I believe it was Edwards. But it's still kind of an educational process for the officials on the field, because they made the right step in trying to outlaw this tackle, because it's just so dangerous in terms of the percentage of plays where guys can get hurt on that play versus a normal play. And I'm not saying this met the I haven't looked at it closely enough or talked to people to say, yeah, he might have crossed the line here, but it's a difficult call on the field in live action for the officials to make, because for it to be warranting a flag and then a fine, it's got to hit like three criteria. So you're watching it in live action, and okay, A, yes, B, yes, C, I don't know. It's just a little difficult. It's still new. But certainly I'd expect the league to review it and take a look at it.
You know, Brad, I know this is going to be a bad thing to ask, because David got mad at me yesterday when I asked it. I'm just wondering, when you think stylistically of DeAndre Swift and how he plays, do they need more of a straight line runner in their run game? And they've got different options with different backs, but when you start thinking about a way to put a running game in, do they need to start operating under center? Do they need to start running the ball up the gut of the field? Do they need to maybe get somebody the ball that is more of a straight line guy, as opposed to kind of cut and then move?
Yeah, that's a good question. You'd want to be able to mix it up, though, because if you say, hey, Khalil Herbert's a better fit for stuff we want to run between the tackles. Let's just say they make that decision. Well, eventually, it might not be the Colts, but an opponent coming up real soon is going to figure out you've got some real tendencies in terms of your backfield personnel. When Herbert's on the field, when Swift's in the game, Swift had a nice run when they went straight ahead. I think they were in 12 personnel, but they've got to find some success on the ground. They've got to find it early. They've got to get themselves in some manageable third down situations, and they've got to stop shooting themselves in the foot with pre-snap penalties. You know, their got-to do list is certainly longer than you would like it to be. But I still believe it can come together. Another here's a jarring statistic about the Colts, and again, the sample size is really small here, just two games. Opponents are averaging more than 40 minutes time of possession against the Indianapolis Colts. So they're getting doubled up, which is really hard to do. I mean, you can see super lopsided games in terms of time of possession, and they don't come real close to be in a true 2-1 situation, but they haven't stopped the run. And then the Colts have had some real short possessions with incomplete passes and things of that nature for Anthony Richardson, who's hit some really big plays, but also made some mistakes.
So let's talk personnel on the offensive line. Is Coleman Shelton in danger of being replaced by Doug Kramer? Is Nate Davis in danger of being replaced by Matt Pryor? And does Karan Amagaji have any chance of being tried at offensive guard?
Boy, I don't think you want to play Amagaji at guard right now. We know you've barely played any football since last October. We're ready to introduce you to the National Football League. Go get them. That doesn't seem like something that they would do. They're just razor thin right now with Ryan Bates and Larry Borum both on injured reserve. They've got four reserve linemen on the 53-man roster, and three of them have not played on offense in a regular season game. Doug Kramer, Bill Murray, and Karan. They don't have that experience. I would think that they've at least got to look at maybe putting Matt Pryor in at right guard for Nate Davis. You got to at least talk about that. Do they make a move yet? I don't know. I don't see a Kramer for Shelton swap, not yet anyway, but they've got to have discussions about all of this because it's just been so bad. And you knew that the offensive line was an area that you were going to have to keep an eye on. It was an area of concern. I don't think anybody expected it to look as poorly as it has through the first two games. You know, they made the Texans look like they've got the steel curtain out there, and that's just not the case.
Yeah, I mean that's a fair assessment of it. They are not favored in this game. What does that tell you specifically? What is it that Vegas is looking at that maybe?
Well, their offense is just. They're not doing anything offensively at all, right? Mm-hmm. They're not really a threat to score points. They're on the road. I think that's what that is right there. There's nothing about them that's particularly inspiring right now. But their defense and people don't think nearly as much about defense when they go to the window as they do offense, and the Bears' offense right now is a mess. Can't run the ball, can't get explosive plays, and can't score. That's like the holy trinity of bad, right?
That's bad. That's a whole lot of bad, Brad. So let's take a step back and let's take the 30,000-foot view of quarterback development in the NFL. Do you look at what's going on in Carolina? Andy Dalton replacing Bryce Young. Two games into his second season, Bryce Young, the former number one overall pick. Any lessons to be learned? Is there anything to be applied to what the Bears are going through with Caleb Williams based on what the Panthers are enduring with Bryce Young?
I wouldn't draw parallels between Young and Williams. I don't think that's an apples to apples discussion right now. And there's certainly not a lot of talent around Bryce Young on that roster. I think one of the problems that they've had in Carolina is they haven't been real direct and forthright with the owner about the ability of the kid, the player, Bryce Young. Certainly, I think that's something that doomed probably the previous regime, right? And if you don't shoot straight with the guy at the top and then everything looks much different than it's been described, people are going to have adverse reactions at times, and that's happened down there. But, yeah, Bryce Young's struggling, and I think that's a decision where you don't want that kid to reach a point where, you know, it's maybe a lost cause. You certainly want to tell the rest of the locker room that you're doing everything you can to put forth a winning product on the field. But they look awful right now. Just, and you knew they weren't going to be good, but it's still a little alarming how bad they are. I mean, they're bad on defense. They're bad all the way around. So he'll be back on the field this season at some point. You would fully expect. Is he back before the Panthers come into Soldier Field on week 5? I don't know, but maybe Andy Dalton can bring just a little bit of stability to them in terms of, you know, he's going to know coverages. He's going to know what to expect, but he's not there to save a season.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. EstWing.com. Well, we haven't talked about the defense, and there's not much to say negatively. They have they've been awful good, and they've improved in the second half in both of their games. Do you look at that fact? Do you say, well, let's see if they can get started earlier this time out? Or are you more complimentary toward what the head coach can do as an offensive coordinator, and he's returning to a place where he last did it in that role?
Yeah, they've been really, really good on defense, and this certainly presents itself as the kind of game where that defense could really have a big effort. You know, they ought to be hunting takeaways here against Anthony Richardson and the Colts. They've been one area where they've been a lot better than they were last season was on third down. The Bears are tied for third in the league right now on third down at 25%. So they've had a significant improvement there. The pass rush, as we know, has been better. I think I talked about this going into the opener, how, you know, for everything that was really impressive about that defense last season, they were 32nd in the league in yards per attempt by opposing quarterbacks, which you can't talk about having an elite defense when you're anywhere near 32nd in yards per attempt. And the Bears are 4th in the league in yards per attempt right now, holding the opponents under 5. I think it's 4.99 on yards per attempt. So that's been fantastic as well. I think they've delivered pretty much anything and everything you would want. The one thing you probably will hear them talk about is they need to get more takeaways. They can always get more takeaways, and that's just ingrained in them from the coaches all the way down through the roster. But this presents itself again like the kind of game where maybe they can get those takeaways in bundles.
Brad, after the game, did you detect any frustration in DJ Moore or other receivers based on the bad communication or chemistry with Caleb Williams? We saw a glimpse of that on the field. DJ Moore denied it in our interview at 8 o'clock. But I think that if it was there, it's understandable. But I just wonder what you observed after the game in the locker room.
Yeah, I think everyone's probably frustrated, right, during the game, and that's natural. I spoke to two of the only wide receiver I didn't talk to was DeAndre Carter. I spoke to DJ Moore for a little bit, and yeah, I think he was frustrated, but it wasn't. It didn't strike me as a blame other guys type of frustration. It came across as a, you know, we're all frustrated, we need to get on the same page type of thing. And then Roma Dunze, specifically, I was talking to him about the final offensive play, the fourth down play, where there was a communication error, and Rome thought it was one thing, and Caleb had another, and Rome took full responsibility for that, and, you know, talked about needing to improve there. He had heard one thing, and what he heard was, but he didn't hear it correctly. And so he ran one route and Caleb threw another. And if he's on the route that Caleb throws, looks like there's a completion. Bears are across midfield. They've got a first down. There's a little less than 30 seconds to play. He's probably out of bounds. I'm not saying they're going to win the football game there, but that drive stays alive at the end.
Brad, we'll let you go. I'm just curious, do you understand philosophically how Matt Eberflus looks at challenge plays? In other words, what is it that he wants to see or he has them looking for before he challenges? And is he listening to players who tell him, oh, I made that catch, you got to go look at it again?
Yeah, I think he kind of takes it all in. The one in the first half with Stephon Diggs, which happened literally right in front of Eberflus, I don't know if he thought he had a perfect view of it. The one at the end, I'd be real interested in knowing the full story behind that. Was he told in the booth to challenge the Kyler Gordon near interception, or did he do that on his own because of game situation, which is if that plays overturned, the Bears have got premium field position in a game where they're struggling to do anything offensively. So maybe is the moment so big that you're willing to risk more with the challenge flag than you would otherwise. But even if that's the explanation, you know, if you can have somebody see that sooner,
yeah,
so you don't throw the flag, you save yourself a timeout there. He hasn't thrown the flag a ton, guys. He was 2 for 5 on challenges through his first two seasons, goes 0-2 the other night. So he's now 2 for 7 challenging plays. And I want to say, I haven't looked at it lately, but the best coaches in terms of replay challenges, I don't know that they're much above 40%. So he's a tick below that. 7's a really small sample size, but yeah, that's one that they need to talk through that and figure out if the exact same play happens again, which we know it won't, but if a very similar play happens again, they need to try to keep that timeout in their back pocket.
Definitely.
Thanks, Big Z.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brad.
It.
Good stuff.
Yeah, have a great day, guys.
All right.
Wow.
Download the Odyssey app, search for 670 The Score, and tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. You can go back, you can listen to that interview, and if you really enjoy the Bears, make sure you check out the Take the North podcast. That's with David Haw and Dan Wiederer, and they're breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of Week 3 against Indy. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, those challenges were just egregiously bad Sunday night.
They were terrible.
Because right in front of them, as Brad said. And then the other one suggested that they were granting the wishes of Kyler Gordon throwing a little bit of a tantrum.
Crazy.
On the field.
You can't do that.
Throw the flag.
You know, yeah, you can't do
you
that.
You can't do that.
No. And again, you're throwing away timeouts. I don't care how important the particular play would have been if only. Come on.
If only.
It's got to be better than that. 2 for 7 is garbage. That's not good. All right. 312-644-6767. We'll be back with your calls, Mully and Hall.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
On the score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. The telephone number, 312-644-6767.
So offensive line auditions, tryouts, changes don't seem to be afoot. Brad didn't like the idea of trying this or that. Maybe Matt Pryor for Nate Davis at right guard could be a consideration. Do you think that they will, when they report back to practice tomorrow, be tinkering with the offensive line?
I hope so. I hope they tinker. I just think that, you know, you need to send a message. And
it's early enough in the season where you could. You can get away with that.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you're benching anyone forever. But, yeah, you got to – I would mix things up and just see how people respond and give it a day or two and make a decision going into the game.
Would you consider moving, like, Tevin Jenkins to the right side? Is that something that –
yes.
Makes sense to you.
It makes sense to me. I think that...
how realistic do you think it is?
I don't think it's unrealistic at all.
Looking forward to talking to Dave Wannstedt next segment about how feasible it is to expect an offensive line to be in a state of flux in season.
Listen, it's in a state of flux, whether anyone wants to admit it or not. It better be, because it's not good enough. So
it's in a state of disrepair.
Whenever you have a problem in your team, you either try to address it and try to improve it, or you bang your head against the wall.
That's true. Last thing before we get to the calls. Do you think, though, is that compatible with what we heard from Matt Eberflus
and
saying he wants to go to the running game, we need to run the ball, and, oh, by the way, tomorrow he's going to say we're going to announce some changes on the offensive line.
No, it would be the kind of thing. It would be like you need to get more running game and you need to do that. That would be one way of dealing with the problems you're having on the offensive line. Either way, you've got to acknowledge that your past pass blocking is subpar and has to improve. Period, end of story.
Dangerously,
there's no way around.
Dangerously so.
Dangerously. Yes. And you cannot get this kid hurt, and you can't keep him going back, and you can't be banging your head against the wall. I just think it's a real problem, and they've got to address it. Let's try Ray. Ray has waited patiently in Orland Park. Hey, Ray.
Hey, fellas, good morning. You and Biggs kind of talked about a lot of what I was going to say, but why is DeAndre Swift auditioning for the 2028 breakdancing team? He's got to run straight. He's got to quit dancing around and running around. It's really getting annoying to see. Maybe part of that's play calling, and I know with the blocking is an issue, but if they want to get that run game going, you got to run straight in the NFL. I don't care what your contract is and how much you want to be like Christian McCaffrey. Run straight. Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate it.
I know what you're saying.
Christian McCaffrey, pretty powerful straight line runner.
Yeah, pretty quick to get to the hole. Okay,
yes.
And then, he's pretty direct.
Right,
and I'm not
get to the second level.
I'm not as down on DeAndre Swift as you are, and I understand.
I'm not
that.
Down on him. I'm just saying, I wonder if they have the right stylistically the right running back. It's a fair thing to ask.
It is a fair thing to ask. I also look at last night. So we're watching Monday Night Football.
Yes,
and I know these are two extreme examples. But Bijan Robinson and Saquon Barkley are guys who I don't know that they're necessarily considered rugged. I mean, they're dancers. They're shifty. They're quick.
Strong.
They're strong guys, but they're not the straight line runner that necessarily fits a bill. If you have somebody who is elusive and can escape tacklers, you want them to try and you want them to run naturally. I think DeAndre Swift had to run for his life, so of course he's going to dance a little bit more.
How tall is he?
DeAndre Swift?
Yeah. Is he like 5'9", as opposed to, I mean, he's like 5'9", 215, 5'10", 215. What is he listed at?
I will find out.
I'm just saying he's not like necessarily a power back. He's more of a third down back, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like
5'9".
215.
Okay, yeah, so I was right.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, and I'm not saying he's too small to be that guy. I think they need to be going north-south more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to complain. Maybe by moving them closer to the line of scrimmage, by moving the quarterback and the running back closer, maybe that will allow you to hit a hole.
I think a lot of it has to do as well with what's going on up front, because he just came from a Philadelphia Eagle organization, and that offensive line allowed him to gain 4.5 yards per carry last year when he had over 1,000. So both things can be true. He needs a compliment, and maybe he needs to get downhill quicker. But I also think the offensive line, once they begin to block the run and protect the passer in a way that is a professional effort each and every Sunday, you'll see a better running back too.
Javier is in Chicago. Hey, Javier.
Hi, I got some questions that I wanted to ask him. Like, mostly a lot of people aren't talking about this, and I don't understand why. We always talk about the same thing, but we never bring this up. Well, at least you guys kind of brought it up. And that's the coaching, and that's Brian Poole, the general manager. Why is it that everybody always says, oh, look at Ryan Hall, look at Ryan Poole, look what he did. He got this haul. But what did he turn those hauls into? Like, every pick he makes, who has he picked that has become an instant star? Darnell Wright, that he picked at number 9, can we stand here and say that he's going to be a Hall of Famer or even a Pro Bowler? You look at the Detroit Lions, where they selected the offensive lineman in the top 10, he instantly became a success. They drafted the St. Brown at wide receiver. He's a star. Like, who has he drafted that has become a star instantly?
I think it's a terribly fair question, but I appreciate asking
it's
it.
It's an interesting question.
He's had more hits than misses in the draft. Darnell Wright, it's unfair to say that he's a bad pick because in his second season, he's a starter, and he's also above average.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a Pro Bowl caliber right tackle. He's trending in that direction.
Well, he's not going to be a Pro Bowler as long as Penny Sewell is there. I mean, Penny Sewell is the Pro Bowler from the division.
Okay.
But I think it's a fair point. David, you know, he made a trade. Bryce Young ends up in Carolina. He winds up with Darnell Wright. He gets DJ Moore in that trade. They get Caleb Williams out of that trade. Tyreek Stevenson out of that
trade. That's a good draft pick.
Torrey Thomas out of that trade.
Torrey Taylor. That's a good draft pick.
And they get next year's probably first pick in the second round.
Gordon and Brisker were good draft picks. I'm not arguing here. I think two things can be true. Well, that was the point of the caller.
That's what the caller
was saying.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah.
I'm not picking on you. I'm telling him.
He's done pretty well.
Look, you can be disappointed in what the offensive line looks like because Ryan Poles hasn't emphasized it enough, and you should think that he should know it. That was my rant yesterday. But I don't think you can just take that and say he doesn't draft well. That's a leap that I don't think that anyone should make.
I also think it's important to remember that, like, okay, so maybe they signed Nate Davis and it's not working out. You know, Andrew Billings, they signed off the street. How was that working out for you? We didn't talk enough about him. He forced a fumble in that game. That guy plays his rear end off. That's a really good player that they brought in there. And so, like, you know, okay. So
Javon Dexter had a good day.
I'm not arguing. Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. I agree with you. I think he's done fine. It's just we're talking about the offensive line in particular.
Well, we are. But the question was taking a broad approach, and that's what happens when you start to get when you go negative, it's hard to, for some people to stop at just the offensive line. Did we tend to generalize? It's a pretty broad brush we paint with sometimes, and that's not always the fair way to look at it.
They traded a second-round pick for a wide receiver that didn't work out. The next year, they trade a second-round pick for a defensive end that's changed their team.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think you have to take it all into account. All right, 312-644-6767. We got Coach Wonstead. He'll join us next. We'll talk to Dave for a couple of segments. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Dave Wonstead, Bears head coach for six seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
Why don't you hang it out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score?
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you very much.
Dave Wonstead.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a pleasure to have our guy Dave Wonstead here in studio with us. Coach, good morning. How you holding up?
There you go.
Yep.
I'm good. A tough game. One that nobody expected to win.
Right.
But then when we had an opportunity to win it, obviously it kind of changed everybody's emotions there at the end. And then you look around the league. How about last weekend in the NFL?
Unbelievable.
It was unreal.
Yeah.
You know, even last night, going back last night.
Well, that's why you felt like you had a chance for the Bears.
Yes,
because
Dave, I agree.
You know, because of all the upsets. And Dave, I think what also it was so much of this past offseason leading into this year felt different for Bears fans. And so much of Sunday night looked the same.
Yeah. I mean,
disappointing offensive line.
Yep.
Defense that plays well and deserves to win. Outcome that you don't like in a process that looks worse. Because they can't protect the quarterback.
See, now I'm going to go, I'm all in with Flus and everybody, but I'm gonna push back a little bit there, David. Last year, we knew how to run the ball, and we would run the football. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody, we run Luke Getsy and them out of town.
Yep.
And Justin Fields, you see what the Steelers are doing with him now? He threw for
2-0.
Yeah, 2-0. But let me make a point. And I love Caleb. I'm on board with Caleb. But Justin, the Steelers are doing what we did with him. He threw for 170 yards. I mean, he's not throwing for 400 yards a game. And he's rolling out, and he's just not turning the ball over.
He's
running. And he's running for 75 yards. So, you know, I look back and say maybe it wasn't all wrong where what we were doing with him. And at least our philosophy, but right now we've lost that mentality of on offense of being a tough physical team.
Well, I think that listening to what Matt Eberflus said yesterday, he's talking about the only way we're going to be able to stop all the blitzing. And there's now a blueprint out there of how to beat the Bears, and that is to come after the quarterback. And you saw a coach that didn't usually blitz the quarterback. They blitzed over 40% of the time.
Yep.
And I think that you've got to run the ball. And Flew said that yesterday. We've got to run the ball to stop the blitzing. And, you know, I get out of the shotgun. I get under center. I would try to run the football conventionally a little bit and see if this offensive line can get some lather going and get some downhill going.
And what's the matter with Herbert? Where did he disappear to? You know, I mean,
he scored a touchdown when they gave him the ball.
He's our best runner, in my opinion, inside the tackle area. And what DeAndre Swift is doing, he's a super talented kid. But you know, he's kind of a fringe guy. He's on the edge rushing, he screens, he's throwing it. You know, you can get the ball in the perimeter pretty good. He'll make a run here or there. But those tough yards that you're talking about.
You guys are down on Swift. I don't know where that's coming
David,
from.
David, it's not down on Swift.
I'm down on that. I don't think for what we need to do running the ball, I don't think that's his cup of tea.
He's a cut and then move guy. They need to hit the line of scrimmage and run the damn ball straight forward a little
bit. There's nowhere to run.
No. But Olin Kreutz would tell you this, that, you know, if people start getting on the offensive line about not pass protecting. And Owens would say, well, then let's just run it to slow these guys down a little bit. I mean, you're exactly right. The first quarter, when Caleb was in a good rhythm, they were rushing four. And then all of a sudden they said, you know what, enough of this. And they started bringing five and the pressures and the blitzes, and here we go. But
and then you get behind the score, and at the end of the game, they're just teeing off on the kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No chance. You know, and maybe we – Mercedes Lewis, he's on the team. You know, you either run the ball or bring in more blockers. There's not any other solutions, guys. I've lived this crap. We went down to Dallas when they were leading the NFL. I was at the Dolphins. They were leading the NFL in defense. And Mike Zimmer was the coordinator then. Parcells was the coach, head coach. And they were blitz kings. And I remember Norv Turner and Tony Wise talking. And I said, what's the plan? And Norv says, you want to know what the plan is? We're going to have a bunch of one-receiver routes. I said, one receiver? He says, yeah, we're going to keep the tight ends in the block and the backs in. And we're going to match up on their guy. And we're going to have to make some throws and catches, but we're going to have time to do it. And that's what we did, and we beat them.
What about changes on the offensive line? How feasible is it to try different combinations, try different positions, try different personnel?
I'm asking this because I'm not 100%. What's our options? I mean, what
Matt Pryor for Nate Davis, Kramer for Coleman Shelton, maybe moving Tevin Jenkins from the left side to the right side, Tinker. Yeah. Try different options, combinations. Try anything because nothing's working.
Yeah, I think you have to be honest as a staff and say, is it because we're physically not good enough to block, or is it what we're trying to ask these guys to do? Mm-hmm. You know, and if that's the case, David, yeah. I mean, something needs to change because
Nate Davis does not look like the player that you guaranteed $30 million to bring.
Oh, it never has. Never has.
So what do you do then? You just write it out because of the contract?
I think because of depth, you're kind of stuck right now. You know, that's what you're looking at. Okay. You know, the old thing, as I always say, you want to get rid of him, good. Now, who's going to take his place? And at this point in the season, it's difficult to do that. You know, that's a decision that probably needed to be made if they were going to make it.
3 years, $30 million, 19 guaranteed. Yeah. That's a big commitment to a guy who can't play.
Yep. Yes, it is. And the practice thing bothers me as much as the play, you know?
Right.
I mean, I'm kind of a little bit old school that way. I want guys out there participating in the OTAs and training camp, and he's had a tough time being on the field.
I'm just curious. So I mean, I don't want to just blame the offensive line, because as we've talked about, you've got to deal with the limitations you might have. And if you're struggling in pass protection, then run the football.
Yep.
And if you're playing a team that allows a lot of rushing yards, then run the football. So I think it's a fairly simple kind of response to what has happened in the first two games. And that should really just improve your team and open up a lot of other stuff.
It's almost, if you probably played back the conversation we had last week, even though they won the game, I think we were sitting here saying pretty much the same things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Let's get – and you know, what do you have? We had one play. Guys, it's too hard in the NFL, probably on any level, to drive the ball consistently – 80 yards without the defense making a play or without there being a mistake somewhere. My point is, we had one play over 20 yards, you know, and the only way you're going to get some shot plays, and, you know, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I always call two shot plays a half.
Yeah.
You might get a pass interference if it's incomplete. You know, you might complete it. If nothing else, you're going to alert the defense that you better stay back there and defend the pass. My point is that the big pass plays come off of the play-action pass, which comes off the running game. You're not going to get a 50-yard pass on second down and 10 unless somebody makes a mistake on defense or they don't know what they're doing over there.
All right, we've got to get to a break. We're going to come back and talk about whether this offensive coordinator is the right guy to do it. I mean, don't you have to intercede if you're not getting what you want as a head coach? We'll ask Dave how he has handled that in the past. It's Mullion Haw on the Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.